Actually, we just posted the paper this weekend, so it will appear on archive tomorrow, I guess. So, yeah.
Is it cross-sectionalized?
I don't know, actually. Just maybe. Maybe there's a. Okay, so I will start with some notations. And so here G is a semi-simple algebraic group over C. And we assume that it's with trivial center. And for example, G could be PGLN. And this B is the set of Borel subgroups. In G. In other words, this is a flag variety. Okay. And then a pair of flags. So this curly B is flag variety, and this are just my Borel subgroups of flags. We say this is generic. If the intersection of those two Borel is abelian. A standard example is when G is PGLN, you can take this B to be the subgroup of all up triangular matrix. And B prime is set of lower. So they form a generic pair. And then we consider this I. This is a set, you parameterize this simple positive coroutes. Of this G. Okay. So whenever given a generic pair, there is a for every I, there is a natural like homomorphism from this GM to T. And these are called simple positive coroutes. And then I will define something called pinning. So the data P is called a pinning. It consists of a generic pair, B and B prime, and also several embeddings, XI and YI, for all I in this I. This is called a pinning over this generic pair. And B prime. And here if for every I, we get a homomorphism, gamma I, from SL2 to this G, where this gamma I takes 1, 1, this up triangular matrix to XIA, and take lower triangular matrix to the yi of A, and also takes diagonal matrix to this alpha I check of A. Okay. That's just the standard construction opinion. And it's essentially it's equivalent to a choice of Chevalier basis. It's just a given. Okay, so that's all my notations. So let me talk about maybe an example. When G is a PGLN, then B1, B2 are generic. This is equivalent to a decomposition. Of this vector space Cn into a direct sum of n many lines, and such that this B1 is given by the standard flag L1 contained in L1 direct sum with L2, and so on until L1 direct sum with Ln. That's the data. And B2 is, we just reverse the order. We start with Ln and contained in Ln direct sum with n minus 1, and so on, and until everything included. Okay. And so what's opinion? The opinion. Over this B1, B2 is equivalent to the choice of a line L contained in Cn that is generic. Generic meaning, namely, L is not contained in, if we take the hyperplane by deleting the ice line. So consider this L is not contained in any of this hyperplane for I. So that's an example of a generic pair of flags with a penny. Okay. Okay, so that's the first part of the notations. So any questions? Sometimes we call this opposite Borel. Okay, so now I will start with a toy example, which will later become our building block. So the second part is a toy. So we consider the modular space. Called PGT. T stands for triangle, so it parametrizes G orbits of the following data. I consider a triple of flags, Borel subgroups, and a triple of pinnings. Where these flags are pairwisely generic. And this PRJ is a pinning over the pair BIBJ for every IJ. Okay. So that's the definition of the space. Okay, so actually I can put them in a triangle. So I have a triple flex, B1, B2, B3, and also I put a pinning everywhere. So this B1, 2 is just a pinning over for this B1, B2. So later I will consider some circles with marked points. For each interval of that circle, I will assign a pinning. And for each vertex, I will assign a flag. Okay, so that's the basic data. And clearly, this is a cyclic group. Zima 3, x here. Okay, so then we have the theorem. Okay, the space PGT is a smooth variety, smooth affine variety. Also, it admits nature cluster Poisson structure. So invariant and the action of this Zima 3. So let me explain what's a cluster Poisson structure. So by which I mean that this PGT is a Poisson variety and secondly this one admits a collection of local coordinate chart. That are related by some very specific transformation called a cluster transformation. Cluster Poisson transformation. And if we consider the coordinate ring of this PGT, then this is just a certain up-cluster algebra. So by which I mean I just take all the all this local coordinate chart and consider the ring of Laurent polynomials. and take their intersection. So that's a quadrant. Okay, so so that's a local result, and later we will generalize this to arbitrary services.
So you know that all the functions that will have polynomials are polynomials. So you know that all the functions are polynomials in all the polynomials.
Yes.
So this collection, the really active all possible plus transformation.
Yes. So yeah, actually this works for arbitrary surface as well. I mean, so in general, I mean the last part is always true. This collection goes through all this. And here maybe it's not the second part. Yeah, it's also true. And for general surface,
So can you describe all the charts, or
defining
discipline?
So yeah, we give an explicit construction in the paper. But today I won't talk about this, because it involves many combinatorics. And but if you're interested in the paper, it's there. OK, so maybe a few remarks. So, well, cluster algebras. A class of commutative algebras. Introduced by Fermin and Zelenski. I think in the year of 2000. And then second part is the most class algebras admit a natural basis. And usually called a theta basis. With non-negative structure coefficients. So this is due to work of Gross, Hacking, Kier, and Kontsevich. I mean, actually, in their construction, the theta basis may have some like power series. It may have infinitely many terms. So you need to check some combinatorial condition for this. In that case, it will be just a usual polynomials, and which turns out work for this one. So, for example, the theta basis of this PGT is corresponding to a basis of tensor invariants. Of the representations of G.
What Do you mean by tensor invariance?
You consider a representation, say, finite dimensional representation. And consider the G invariance, tuber representation.
Only three or any number?
Here, when I consider triangle, so it's only three. But I can consider like arbitrary polygon. The same will work. Okay.
So these are just laminations of three legs.
I'm sorry.
So these are sort of laminations like parallel transport.
Yes, yes.
So the three coming into one.
Uh-huh. But I mean, we're just following their construction somehow. So but for PGL2, that's just laminations. Yeah, it works for arbitrary, and actually it works for arbitrary surface. Okay. Okay, and actually we have also the third remark. And that's the main topic today. So due to the work of Falk and Goncharov, So every cluster Poisson variety can be quantized. So, for example, here, we got there is a algebra over the Riemann ring of Q. Which is denoted by OQ of PGT. This is just some Q deformation of this guy. And whose quasi-classical limit at Q equals 1 recovers this O of PGT and its Poisson structure. So we will tell the whole story for surfaces, and we consider a representation of this guy. So let's go. Okay. So now let me define the moduli space of G local systems . Okay, so I will take S, which is oriented and topological surface. With some punctures and special points. So here is a picture. So this is a surface with possibly with boundaries and with some punctures and also some special points on the boundary. Like this guy. Thank you. So then I will consider L is a G local system. Over this S. So it has many equivalent interpretation. One, we can consider it's a, we can consider the homomorphism from the fundamental group of S to G, and quotient by the diagonal action G. So L is the element of G. And, or we can consider this is a principal G bundle over S with flat connection. So now let's take LB. B is a flag variety, and so this is the associate and B bundle. Okay. So I'll consider the modular space PGS. So it just parametrizes the following data L and beta and P. So we are L is a G local system. And beta is a flat section of this LB on every special point and every circle surrounding the puncture. So if I only consider those two data, that's just the so-called Fock-Gontrov space. Okay. But here we introduce some extra data, P. P is actually the data come from pinning. Okay. So P is the collection of pinning. Every adjacent one is generic. Yeah. Yeah, when I impose this data, it's required that every adjacent. Over BI, BJ, for every boundary interval. E, where E is just the boundary interval connecting I and J. So I and J are adjacent marked points on one circle boundary. Okay. Okay. So that's space. Okay. And when S is just a a disk with three market points, that's just a PGT loop. Consider. Yes?
BI is
the.
It associates to like the.
Yes, yes,
I.
Yes, exactly. So, and also I and J are adjacent. So I here and J is the one next to it. Okay, so so let's consider maybe an example. So S is once punctured disk with see two special points. So basically I consider a disk with one puncture here and two special points here. So when we consider the data L, it's just a monogamy surrounding this puncture. And this beta is just, we assign a flag here, and a flag here, and also another flag here. This B is invariant under this monogamy action. And then we have a pinning here, and a pinning here. So that's the data for this.
This one is related to the bounding box, right?
Huh?
This one is related to bounding.
Yes, yes, exactly. Because this one are something like the Poisson Lee group of Grünfeld, and its quantization is, yeah, that's one of the main results. The quantization is a quantum box. And so now we consider some natural actions on this space PGS. Okay. It turns out there are four grooves. Exon PGS. So first action is given by this the mapping class group. Of S. As we consider local system, so you consider the mapping class group on S, then it will induce an action on PGS. And second group is the group of outer automorphism of G. One example is to consider a star action, taking G to G, taking G to and G transpose and inverse. So this also acts. Also, we have the Weyl group Wn. Here, n is the number of punctures. So, in other words, associated to every puncture here, there is a Weyl group action. Basically, we just alter this flag, taking G invariant. And the last one, there is a braid group action and BM. M is the number of boundary circles. Okay. So the first three groups have been considered before, and the last one is kind of new. Okay, so let me just maybe explain how the last group acts on this example. So there is a void group action on this data.
M is the number of
boundary circles. So like this one, M is one. There is just one boundary circle. So let's consider maybe the example of grid group action. First of all, we recall there is a so-called Tietz distance map. From a pair of flags to W. And then for every generic pair, I think I'm using B1 and B2, there exists and for every well group element, and there exists a unique flag B prime, such that the distance between B1 and B prime is W, and the distance between B prime and B2 is W inverse times W naught. W naught is the longest element. Okay. So really, what does it mean? Let's consider, for example, if G is PGLN, then we know generic flag meaning B is the same as something like a line considered in a contained in a plane and then contained in some three-dimensional space and so on. That's B1, and B2 is like the other order, Ln contained in Ln sum with n plus 1 and so on. And W now is a permutation in Sn. So this B prime is just a L of W1 contained in L of W1 direct sum and W2 and so on. Okay. So whenever we have a generic pair and a given a permutation, there is a unique such B. Okay. Okay, so now I can use this to define the generator of this grid group action. Some color to check. Okay, so let's consider the action of Ti, that's a generator of grid group action. So what shall we do? We just pick a flag B1 prime, it's of distance Si to this guy, and then an Si W naught to this guy. So according to that one, this flag is unique. And similarly, we take another flag here, B2 prime, so of distance SI star, and this distance is SI star W naught. And here SI star is W naught SI W naught, the conjugation. And W naught is rank 2, so this is. Okay. So basically, I just partially rotate this in a certain sense, pick here and here. So, and then I just rotate this back. I just consider.
In terms of black connection, this goes from the situation where there is a swap of dominance.
I think so, but.
Matrix is decomposing. So the stock factor moves from a stock matrix to the next.
I think they are related, but I'm actually not. Yes, I certainly it's related to stakes data, and then. I'm not 100% sure if they are the same, but I think so. Okay, so then you just looks very much somehow. You just got this B2 prime, and similarly you can rotate this spinning again. But for Stokes data, when you shift it, do you get the braid group action in general?
Potentially. I mean, you. So the behavior of the black connection is controlled by the eigenvalues.
Uh-huh.
It's quite simple.
Yeah, I mean, for.
And they're supposed to be distinct for these full flags.
Uh-huh.
So I can imagine that the braid group is just the braiding of the eigenvalues of the most singular term in the irregular connection.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Those are n numbers on a plane, after all.
Yes, I think for PGL2, probably that's exactly the same. But I'm not sure in general. Anyway, so that's the definition. So, as I said, we can shift the pinning accordingly.
The braid group from generic G, isn't it precisely the fundamental group of semi-simple elements?
Well, what's that? The braid group?
How do you define the braid group for generic group?
So there are two ways. One is consider, it's generally like algebraically defined this.
Of course,
and the other one, yes, is the fundamental group of this. You delete those like a common planes.
Exactly. So it's a fundamental group of semi-simple, of the spatial semi-simple elements of the reactor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's precisely a fundamental group of the singular part of the irregular connection.
Uh-huh.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, so I had, when I talked to Sasha several days ago, and I think we also mentioned some Stokes data here, but still that we don't know. And anyway, so this is a braid group action, and that's kind of a new thing here in this paper.
So all of these actions can be quantized?
Yes, that's exactly the next point I want to mention. So.
So before quantizing, so all of this, I can imagine associating some sort of three-dimensional Borgeson to each of these, or each of these transformations, right? Definitely for the mapping class group of S, right? I can just have the movie of the mapping class transformation. But I could also imagine, you know, putting the corrections on the on the lines or things like that. Do you have a general topological field theory understanding of this?
The other actions?
Of all these actions?
That's all my understanding, I think. That's construction. Geometrically. I don't know. It's I mean, probably I know, but I'm not sure if I know.
I mean, people have this sort of four-dimensional topological theory built from UQG.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so UQG, you mean the quantum group, right?
That's right. So there is this four-dimensional topological theory
uh-huh.
partially extended that you can build using starting from RepQG.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we can... Actually, for this example, it's exactly UQG. And this separate group action is just a loose stick separate group action on UQG. There are some classical understanding here.
But sure, it's not possible to use this information to just give it. Okay.
So the main result is so the space PGS admits a natural class of Poisson structure. Which is invariant under the above four group actions. And furthermore, So we can consider the quantization. So these groups also act on the quantization of this BGS. Again, this is some up-classed algebra. And also this guy is expected to have a natural basis. Which is somehow, those actions will permute these bases. Okay. And the structural coefficients should be also positive. And so when Q is 1, and G is PGON, this is proved. It is proved. In my previous work with Goncharov. And our method here can be applied to any classical groups. But for arbitrary group, actually, I can handle so far the punctures. It's a little bit tricky. So now let's consider, erase it. Let's consider this example and its relations with the quantum group. And so that's basically the last thing I want to say. So let's consider quantum group. So UQG is a quantum group, and this is a Hopf algebra. And it's generated by a collection of generators EI, FI, and KI, K plus or minus for all I. So this satisfy a set of relations. For example, they will satisfy the so-called quantum cell relation, if you just take this one. Let's consider UQ of B. This is a subalgebra of UQ of G. Just generated by. This half EI and KI plus or minus. So then for every special point S of this, some decorated surface, something like this. Special points, I mean marked points on the boundary. Like this S. Yeah. So for this S, there exists a collection of functions. Of natural functions. This is constructed in again in my earlier work with Gontrov, 2014. It's also part of my PhD thesis here. So we have a potential function, something called. S one until S and S r, I is a range, and there is also a called h distance function, K S one and K S r. So there are two a collection of functions like this for every S here. So the point is. Essentially, they are all cluster monomials, and they can be uniquely lifted to the quantum algebra. So there is a canonical lifting. So we can. So one can lift them to the quantized algebra UQ BGS. Okay. And it turns out they will satisfy all the relations of quantum group. So the theorem is there exists an embedding for every S. From UQ of B to this OQ PGS, which will take the generator EI just to the lift of this potential function WSI and takes this generator K to. KSI.
Okay. What about the bunchers?
This only works for this guy. For the punctures, we have a potential function W. No, we don't actually for PGS. So for potentials, I will talk about this maybe in a few seconds. So there is some other thing related to punctures. Okay, but. Yeah, for every, so in this case, for every special point, there is a UQB. And in particular, if the boundary component has
only two special points, then indeed you get a UQG go to there. So you get another half. So so for this particular case, and actually works if, in general, if whenever there are two special points. So then you get a UQG goes to K 4Q. But actually, we have two copies of K. There is one K here and one K here. It turns out their product is the central elements here. So we have to caution out this. Caution out this relation, then this is the embedding. So, and actually, this one, and so now go to the puncture. There is, remember, there is a val group action here. And actually, this embedding does not depend on the val group action. So in fact, we get a W invariance of this, and that's the embedding. And this one has a geometrical interpretation in some other space, in LGS. This is essentially the, this LGS is essentially this Poisson D. Of Greenfield. Okay. So, and actually, the conjecture is this is an isomorphism. It's isomorphism to this guy. When this S is a function. And so we can prove that when Q equals 1, actually, they are the same. But still cannot prove that this is, in general, an isomorphism. So if this is true, and I believe this is true, then we give a somehow geometric interpretation of the quantum group. And remember the Bredt group acts on here. That's a Lustig Bredt group action, which is a key tool to construct the canonic basis here. And we have some interpretation on this language as well. OK. I think. I'm out of time, but let me mention that this map is a refinement of some recent work of Shapiro and Schrader. And also an Evan Eep. Okay. Yeah. Refined meaning we actually prove this is canonical. Somehow they construct a constructor embedding by like a calculation somehow. But our definition is in a certain sense coordinate free. And also, so the very last thing I want to say is there is some relation with this TQFT, and so if we have like two surfaces, it's. Like some surface with marked points, and some other surface here, and then we can just glue this. If there are pinning, imagine the pinning are like this, gluing data somehow. Just glue them, and then we got something like this. It's S1, S2, and S1 star with S2. So, and this one turns out is a Poisson map. And actually, we also get the algebra of this. I don't know. And then, Actually, in the paper, we also studied the principal series representations of them and want to interpret them in terms of the QFT and conformal field theory. I will stop here. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Did
you
check
all the
options for PPFT? No, actually this is, consider.
This green part, that's the part you checked.
We constructed something, but still it's not complete in that paper. So I don't know, it's, maybe not, I will, but. What's the question again?
I just want to know whether you can frame the you can envision making a construct and TQFT out of these constructions.
Yeah.
Checking the.
It's possible essentially the GFT is technical for spermias.
Yes, right. So I just want to see whether you can this construct a matches or whether you can promote this mathematically.
Yeah, I think the.
Maybe you got some work, but is there any obstruction for doing that in particular?
Yeah, so I think the main idea here is for usual TQFT, maybe you want to say glue, say pair of pants and so on, right? So this is a building block, is a triangle. So you just glue different triangles together.
It's an extended thing. It's it extends all the way to Hilbert spaces, but not to partition functions. What do you call that?
Endlessly many names like categorified blah blah blah, topless blah blah blah, D plus epsilon. I don't like any of these names.
Okay.
They're all in the literature.
It's funny because if you don't put enough punctures on your surface, you don't get any. You don't get this half of that. You don't get. So the divided pieces where you don't get
And also I missed the other part is the principal series representations of this. So the construction is the following. So for this puncture disk with two marked points, we showed that there is a representation of this. Basically, you cut this into halves somehow, and you consider representation of BGS just on this half. And so actually, you get an action on the L2 space of G mod U with positive points somehow. And the similar idea, so if you have a sphere with, for example, several marked points on the here, right, on the equator. Then you got again this representation on the L2 space, but now it's you just consider one half of this. That's just a disk with m n points. So that's got a configuration space of n, which you imagine. And so the idea to consider that one is actually we consider some double of the surface and then consider representation of that. But still, it's I have to say we don't fully understand the picture. Yeah. He is not here, I ask.
But he's also supposed to work on coordinate charge on the.
Yes.
So what is the relation between your work and his
work? First of all, he considers not this space. So he considers space without pinning. So then you just delete all those so called frozen points somehow.
Oh, right.
And his construction is somehow. it's a like case by case study. So that's why his paper is very long somehow. So our construction here is it's like a universal construction.
So for specific case of a real paper, the construction coincide.
I mean, they are the same construction. For the type A case, it's already constructed by Fokker and Gontroff. And Yang Li considered the classical groups case. He also considered G2, I think.
Yeah.
But we consider all the semi-simple groups. But we also modify the space. We do think this is the right space because it's more natural. If you have a gluing data, then you consider gluing them together. Without them, it's impossible. Yes. But I certainly have to mention Yan. His work is related to this as well.
Questions? If not, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.